And when the season is on the brink and you feel like it's just it's circling the drain, it's going down the toilet, there was that player again. Again, how many times this season have we said, when you need it most, this guy will come through. This guy will deliver. This guy will be a major impact. That guy being...
Jerickson Profar! I knew it!
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back. Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All righty. Hey there. Greetings to you. It is a Thursday. It is the 11th day of August, 2022. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Darren Smith. This is Extra 1360. We are proudly available on AM radio at AM 1360. You can find us there if you get AM radio. It's great. It's a throwback. It's reliable, kind of. You can find us in high definition at 101.5 channel number 2, KGB2. That's high definition radio right there on your FM dial. The iHeartRadio app. Wherever, whenever, however you'd like to listen, you can do so via the free iHeartRadio app. Gives you access to podcasts, music stations, playlists, all sorts of good stuff there. Stream us through your Bluetooth, through your smart speakers, all via the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe to the show. You can listen whenever you'd like. Don't want to listen between 12 and 3 o'clock? Got something else to do? It's fine. SportsSD.com, that's our website. That is our website. And we'll leave it at that. 3 hours today. Padres are off. Padres, I don't know if they traveled yesterday or if they traveled today. I don't know exactly how it is that Bob Melvin and the front office of the Padres conduct their business. I'm sure somebody will know the answer to that, and I'm sure it's available. I also recognize that it's completely unimportant. But the Padres are off, and they are on their way to Washington, D.C. They will play the Nationals 7 of the next 10. They go through Miami. You're going to have some homecomings of sorts, aren't you? In Washington, you're going to have Juan Soto and Josh Bell. I don't know what sort of obligation they might feel. Maybe they just got to go back to their houses and clean their stuff out. Or as George Carlin would say, clean out their crap. And they would just have to go back and find some stuff that they left behind. You know, things that we all leave behind when we travel. I forgot my AirPods. So maybe they have to do all that sort of stuff. Although I suspect when you're a big-time Major League Baseball player, you have people who do that sort of thing. But maybe they'll throw a party. Maybe they'll take people around town. Who knows what the situation will be. And then, of course, they go through Miami. And that's where Manny Machado's from. So Manny Machado, you know, he's been told he's building a beautiful house in Miami, someplace around. So I'm sure there's going to be just a bit of entertaining, an expectation of entertaining going on over the next couple of days. Padres do win yesterday. I thought that was a very, very good game. I thought that was a good series. I really did. I thought that was a good series for the Padres. Not just because they won 2 out of 3. I mean, yeah, okay, that's the bottom line. But I also would like to give the Giants some credit here. Because the Giants gave them all that they could handle. And I don't think that the Giants have anywhere near the level of talent that the Padres do. And I'm not saying this is a reason to sound the alarm bells. But I just want to give the Giants a tad bit of credit here. Because they pushed the Padres. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing ultimately for the Padres. You know, I don't know. I mean, we got to see it with Hader to know exactly what that means from the other night. If you want to say, hey, listen, that's just nerves. That's jitters. If you want to say he's a little bit off or he's still figuring out a new routine, you could say all that stuff, but you don't know, and I don't know. I hope that's the case, but I give the Giants credit because they came in, and it was sort of said, not said definitively and outwardly by the team itself, by Gabe Kapler, by any of the Giants players. It's a team that won 107 times, but as we discussed when this series began, they had to go through the Padres. If they have any hope of going to the postseason, the route that they had to take was to go through the Padres. And they played that way, and I think that that deserves a little bit of credit. And I think that that will benefit the Padres as well because they should get pushed like that. That's what the next, you know, 47 games, 48 games are going to be all about when you start looking at some of the teams on the schedule, not just the 9 against the LA Dodgers that we've spent a ton of time on. And I don't know what to make now of the Giants moving forward, but the Cardinals are still in the mix. So, you know, I do. I think that you have – what we've talked about is a little bit of a pedestrian schedule remaining because you see the Nationals, because you see the Marlins. And I think that that's okay. I mean, bank all the wins that you can. It's important. You're fighting for home field. You're fighting for a wild card spot. Nothing is decided. As good as this talent is, nothing has been decided. You haven't won anything. So, you know, I like that because, you know, that gets you tested. That gets you ready. And I do. They won the game one. They came in here. They won the first game. Second game, they rallied off Hader. Not that I want to, but, you know, like now we got to see how he bounces back. He's done it a lot in his career. We'll see that whenever that might be. And then yesterday, they jumped all over Manaea just when you're like, oh, okay, Padres. They found themselves a little bit of a groove. They got the great catch from Jerickson Profar. They got Manny Machado hitting a walk-off, right? Like, that sort of calms down some of the hysteria from I'm effing Manny Machado and everything that came with that. And, you know, then to see it playing out in real time yesterday as we were talking on the air, like, wow, they just jumped Manaea. That's something. And then, oh, okay, now that's woken up the Padres. But then guess what? We went into a meeting yesterday afternoon, and the Giants took the lead. We're like, wait a minute, what? The Giants? They didn't just roll over and die? They came back and they took the lead again against the Padres, only to have the Padres then flex their muscles and blow past the Giants. And that is what the difference is. But I did. I think there's that's a little remember that one. Remember being tested. Remember being pushed. You know, that's a good thing in sports. I think that's good. I give the Giants credit. I think you can learn something from them given who they are, what they've won. It's not the same team. And you know, you could tell me all you want 107 wins from a season ago is a little bit of a fluke, but they did it. They did it. And they won the division. Then they dethroned the Dodgers. Even if it was only to lose to them again in the postseason. But I like that. I mean, I thought that was good. I thought that was just good metal from the Padres, from both sides, and that the Padres ultimately came out on top, I think makes everybody happy around town. So I was into that. I like that. It was good. I think you're going to learn a little bit more than you might over the next, I don't know, in the next 10, you know, you'll constantly, we'll all be evaluating what this looks like. But, you know, just to see you pushed a little bit, I think, and then figure out a way to fight through it all. I heard Schaefer say this yesterday while I was driving away, and I couldn't have agreed more with him. When they were down four, I was like, oh, man, they're going to lose this game, aren't they? Then they come roaring back. Then they give it up, and you might have been conditioned to think, oh, man, they gave up a lead. That, you know, geez, 2 days in a row, this isn't good. And then they won again. You know, they went back ahead again. So, like, I don't know. I mean, for a mid-afternoon, maybe I'm putting too much into it just because it's an off day, and I really don't want to talk about NFL preseason, but yeah, I do. I just thought that was really a very, very good series for the Padres in front of you know, great fan support for the 3 days that they were there in town. So off day today, Washington Nationals coming up tomorrow, and we'll see what it looks like. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like in that building. Are people over it there? I mean, or are they going to show up? They're going to say hello and give one. Is there some sort of pregame ceremony? Who knows? But we look forward to that. We'll spend much more time on that. Dennis Lynn will join us from our nation's capital tomorrow, not today. But good afternoon to Marty. I hope people were
Martha, what's going on?
Watching on Twitter. We did our pre-show. Jonathan Rifkin brought in a little bit of lighting. I guess something was off with the lighting for the first three editions of the pre-show, premature conversation or whatever we're calling it. I guess there was something off with the lighting for the first couple of days. So he came in now like a Hollywood producer. He came in here and he had a tripod with a light on it, and he put his phone on the tripod and was engaged in the conversation. So way to go, Jay Riff.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Premature conversation isn't a bad name for the segment.
Yeah.
Maybe we shorten it to like pre-C with, or something, but I like it.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Pre-C, like you shortened premature conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. I mean, it's a working title. I don't know. Hey, how are you? Hi, we have people taking a tour through iHeart, and they're literally filming us with their phones while they're walking by. Hi, we're just the animals at the zoo. Mm-hmm. Nice to see you. Pre-C? Do you like premature conversation or the pre-C?
No.
Do you have a better?
I don't. I need to think about this.
Okay.
But I'm sure it'll probably end up winning because I will think of nothing
else. If you win, we'll give you one Republic ticket. Okay.
Marty declared that it is hot as balls out.
It is, man.
She did say that during the Twitter pre.
It is. Like, how tough is it to leave the beach? Like,
I didn't want to leave today.
Oof.
I believe in microclimates. My phone tells me it's 90 degrees where we are in Sara Mesa.
Let's see.
It was 76 when I left Imperial Beach today. That's a difference. Now, that's a 14-degree difference, and that's significant. That's very significant. Now, 130 or 116, that's not that significant. But 90 to 76 feels significant to me. I was with you. Hot as balls. Yeah. In a text and also on Twitter today, just in case I didn't get the message the first time from Marty. She wanted to make sure I understood it was hot as balls.
It really is.
It is hot as balls.
I complain a lot.
Do you want to put a lot into that series against the Giants, or should we just move on?
I think we can just move on.
I thought it was a good test for them.
That's great. I think it's interesting now that the Padres are now embarking on really what is the soft part of their schedule. And by soft, I mean, I think the rest of this month, the month of August, that is, they are only playing one team that has a winning record, and that's going to be a two-game series with the Austin Hedges of Cleveland.
Whoa.
Yeah, they play the Guardians at Petco Park, a two-game series, and I think that's it, right? That's the only team on their schedule that has remotely a winning record, right? You mentioned, where do they have it? Okay, they have the Royals. They have, seven games with the Nationals, the Marlins.
Yeah, I have it right in front of me here. Their strength of schedule is right about .500 for the rest of the regular season. This is buoyed a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. 9 with the Dodgers, 7 with the Nationals. So that's a little bit of a trade-off there.
But I'm talking about specifically about the month of August, the remaining month of the remaining schedule of this month. 10 straight games against teams that are going nowhere. I mean, twice they'll face the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Marlins, the Guardians at Petco Park, and then they finish with a Kansas City and a Giants team that they were able to pounce on the past couple of days.
Right, which might realize where it is come August 29th. You know, I think it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to show up in San Diego, and guys, listen, we don't have a ton of time left. We got to go. And I thought they played that way. I really did. You know, again, I don't mean to just go overboard here because ultimately they lost 2 out of 3, and that's the most important thing. Mm. But, you know, I do think you're right. I think the next time you see San Francisco, they're likely to be much less optimistic than they were arriving at Petco Park. Mm-hmm. And you could sort of feel the optimism just exiting the Giants dugout, right. I thought, over the last couple of innings of that game yesterday. You know, to pounce early, to come back from a deficit, and then to lose it again. You're like, oh, man, it's probably not for us this year. But you are right. It is Washington and then at Miami, so that's a 6-game road trip. Home next weekend with the Washington Nationals for 4. Cleveland at Kansas City for 3. At San Francisco for 3. And then into September with the Dodgers, where you have to face them 9 times in a month. So as much as I like the idea of being tested and I like the idea of being pushed and having to respond, I also would tell you, knowing what history this year and a little last year has told us about Padres and Dodgers, I'm very comfortable banking a bunch of wins against the dregs of the league.
Absolutely.
Go out and pick up as many as you can against the bottom of the barrel, and who cares if you get tested? Who cares if they have position players pitching and all that other sort of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just bank as many as you can.
Completely agree. Because the series with the Dodgers, the history has not been good to them as of late. And I feel like last year the games were different. And I have to go back and look at that schedule, but I feel like every single game down, like they were in it like into the 9th inning. They could go either way. They were close. They weren't like just not as lopsided as they've been this season. And I thought Elvin Gonzalez, and I would like to reset that later on because I know we talked to him during the Padres game yesterday, and he was talking about that he doesn't think that there's that much disparity. When you look at the talent they have on paper, he gives the edge with what the Padres have with the superstars they've added offensively. He might give that edge to the Padres. Now, of course, with the Dodgers, they have some guys coming back, but the Padres also have another massive addition coming back. He really thinks that they're very evenly matched, and it's been puzzling why the Padres have struggled so badly against the Dodgers this season and in the second half of last season. But no, you're right. Because of that, and because you've got your number one goal man is that top wild card seed, these are teams you have to crush.
Mm-hmm.
You have to smoke them because the schedule, it's not forgiving in September. And you're talking about not just the Dodgers are going to face that series against the Cardinals, man. Why do I keep thinking that is massive for what could happen potentially in seeding in the wild card? The 3-game series with the Cardinals at Petco Park, that could be rather significant.
Yeah. Well, it's more than a month away.
Yeah, I know.
Should we start previewing?
Oh, I'm already. Let's
go. We get somebody on from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch?
Absolutely.
To preview that series?
Hey, man, this month is going to fly.
Well, you know, here's the thing, right? Now that we're post-deadline and you know, the afterglow of the deadline, I still think it exists. I still think it does.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of Padre fans who have probably not seen Juan Soto play.
Yeah.
Or not seen Josh Bell, or not seen Josh Hader, or not seen Drury. So, you know, there's still that element out there. But, you know, as you think about it, as you prepare for shows like this, you know, that there's something that's dramatically different than it was 8 days ago.
It's insane how different it feels.
There's just the games. Like, that's all there is. Like, there's just the games. And there's a little bit left with Tatis. Obviously, with Tatis, and when he's going to return. And when he does return, where is he going to play? And what is that going to be? But, you know, in terms of shows like this, which I don't think it's in anybody's best interest to analyze and break down games. This isn't the post-game show. Mm-hmm. This is the talk show the next day. It's in the afternoon. So, you know, it's much more, I suppose, about narrative and storylines.
Matchups.
About, hey, did you see that at bat in the fourth inning?
Well, here's the most remarkable thing
about... that's all we got. Like, you know, there's not a lot of, well, like, you know, who's going to talk about September call-ups this year?
Who?
Do they even still do that?
What do you mean by that?
An annual conversation. Well, no, who should we look forward to seeing in September?
But think about how remarkable that how our focus on Tatis has changed. Okay, not about, oh my gosh, when does he return? Remember, we thought it was going to be in June, and then you're hoping he's available for the All-Star break, and now we know it's likely in the middle of August. So there was so much focus on when can he get here soon enough. He needs to help them. You know, he's going to be their big. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be their. That's going to be the trade deadline acquisition. Well, actually, it's a little bigger than that. Now our conversation is, you're actually getting production from certain guys. That, where do you put them? There is no obvious answer. I mean, we think a lot more time in center field, but think about. What a good problem to have. It's like, wow, what do you do with Tatis? Because Ha-Sung Kim has been fantastic defensively. He can hit. You have a good problem with Tatis.
There was a play he made yesterday while we were here in studio, and most of you were probably watching, where he ranged so deep into the hole, and he made such a throw, and you could see Shamania got some good defense yesterday, too. You know, he didn't have a great day on the stat line. He hung in there. I guess this is what you're supposed to say. He battled.
Well, he got one. I mean, Soto made a misplay. He had an error.
He did,
on that.
But you know, it wasn't a very good day.
Right.
That said, maybe it was better than it was last time out. I don't know. Maybe trending in the right direction. What do you want to say? There are higher standards than that type of performance, I think. But there were some plays yesterday that were really, really fantastic. You know, I remember just sitting here during the day going, wow. Well, look, just out loud during a commercial break going, wow, Ha-Sung Kim. Now, you might have been paying attention or focused on the game, but I mentioned something. I posted on Twitter, and I heard this on the Padre broadcast the other night. And I think we confused Kevin yesterday. AC was on, and he sounded very confused when I asked this. But I was listening to Jesse and Tony the other night. And, you know, Jesse, who's a team broadcaster, who knows some things. He's got some access that people don't. People like us don't. And he was talking a little bit about what it might look like when Fernando comes back. And he said something I thought that was so interesting, that it might be a platoon-type situation, but not in a traditional way that you think platoon, okay, you know, lefty-righty, they switch and alternate playing right field. He was saying it might be a platoon situation with Ha-Sung Kim and with Trent Grisham. And when I first heard that, I said... Wait a second. What is he saying? Is he saying Kim's going to the outfield? And he said, no, against left-hand pitching, Kim will play short and Fernando will play center. Against right-hand pitching, Fernando will play short and Grisham will play center. And against left-hand pitching, Kim will play short and Fernando will play center. Now, I want to be very clear and very fair to Jesse here, as I was yesterday and as I have been on Twitter. He was not saying, hey, everybody, they told me the plan. Here it is. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, it sort of sounds like that's that's an idea. It's not 100%. It's not always going to be that way. Maybe there are certain lefties that certain, you know, Grisham hits well or whatever. But I thought to myself, wow, that's interesting. That is very interesting. So Fernando plays against everybody because he's Fernando Tatis Jr., but you now say Kim against lefties, Grisham against righties, and it also leads to one other question, which is what do you do at the end of the games?
Right.
What do you do at the end of the games? A team that has said previously, we're going to put our best defensive team out there on the field. We're going to start incorporating Jake Cronenworth over to first. Now, I don't know that you're going to do that anymore because of Josh Bell, although I don't know that he's some sort of defensive wizard over there, not Wally Joyner.
He's
but I don't think
he's liability.
Bad? I don't know. I don't have his metrics. But I just thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. What are they doing in the clubhouse? What are they doing in the Padre clubhouse? What are they doing over there? I know why they would do that, though. That's
why would they do that?
I know why they would. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, some of you are going to hate it just because some of you hate everything. But I actually don't hate that.
And what? And there, one time it'll backfire too, no doubt.
Oh, of course.
100%.
Of course. But, you know, I mean, yeah, a ball will get over his head or, you know, Kim will go on some sort of defensive rut. You know, something will happen because something always happens.
Yep.
It's just the way it is. But I thought, well, Brian, I know why they would do that. And I'm very intrigued by that. But we asked this question to Kevin. He was like, I don't know. He confused us. Kind of confused us yesterday.
Well, then you should ask him again next week.
I'll ask Dennis. I think Dennis will know where we're going tomorrow. Talk to Dennis from Washington, D.C. So we'll get into that.
I thought you were going to have to talk to Dennis about Luke Voigt. I mean, if you're at Nationals Park, the first person you run up is going to be Mackenzie Gore or Luke Voigt. And you say, hey, listen. Has Hosmer apologized to you yet? And then guess what? When the Nationals come to Petco Park next week, you know what you do again? You run for after Luke Voigt. Hey,
anything?
Hey.
Any update?
You heard from him? Got a text message?
Hosmer?
Anything?
Has he called you? No? He hasn't? Oh, man. That's awful. That's something. Man, what a storyline that is.
I know. I can't wait, man.
What a storyline that is. Just judging on the text line, it sounds like they took a couple hacks at that one this morning.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I recognize that Eric Hosmer personally came to all of your houses. Everybody in the local media kicked down your front door and you know, kicked your dogs. But I guess we somehow evaded that. Unless I missed something. Unless I missed the story. All right, we got a good show. It is a Thursday. Padres on the road. A little bit of a break. A little bit of a deep breath. I mentioned this during the premature C. Before the start of the show today on Twitter, I was at SD Loyal last night at Torero Stadium, and I bumped into one of our longtime listeners. His name's Chris Garcia. He's like, I am so tired. He's like, I did Padres last week. I did Loyal Saturday. We had Padres Dodgers all weekend. I did Padres Monday, Tuesday. I did Loyal Wednesday night. Get these teams out of town. We need a break. We need a little bit of a break. And it's fun, but yeah, so are weekends. Every once in a while, I'm ready for a weekend to end just so I can go back to work. You know, you go crazy on a Friday night and Saturday you're pushing hard, have a big Saturday night and then Sunday for good measure. Like, yeah, bottomless mimosas. Let's go. And like, I need to go back to work, dude. I need to get back into I need a break.
No, today's.
I feel like the last 7-8 days around here have provided us a lot.
It's been insane.
It's been fantastic.
It's been, yeah, it has. Today's off day feels wonderful because the last couple of weeks you had the speculation leading up to the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wondering, hey, Wilson Contreras is hugging his teammates. What does that mean? Oh, wait a second. Wilson Contreras is hugging Ian Happ. What does that mean? And then all of a sudden, the massive haul last week. And then it's been an exhausting but glorious 10-day stretch. So today's off day feels great. And now we can concentrate on the all-important NFL preseason game with the Giants and the Patriots, where no one's playing the starters, including Mac Jones, who has struggled, with an offensive coordinator not named Josh Daniels. And, of course, the New York Giants also not playing anybody.
Probably not on my radar.
Oh, I can't.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. Probably not tonight. But I do have some college football on the mind.
Coming up tomorrow morning on the Hartman and Ridge Show, Steve's We Do Our Ask Steve Anything segment. We'll talk to you at 6 tomorrow morning on Extra 1360.
All right. Very rejuvenated there, Rich Orenberger. Coming up top of the hour, this man is a legend. He is a broadcasting legend, and you might not know him by name. Many of you will. Many of you know the name Andres Cantor. He will join us coming up at the top. Now, it's either 99 or 100 days away from the World Cup. I will tell you that Andres Cantor is booked today. He was booked on the idea that it's 100 days from the start of the World Cup. There's just a little bit of confusion about that because FIFA, because Qatar, and it might be 99, but who's counting? So, you know, there's this push all across the world that it's 100 days until the World Cup, but nobody's sure if it's actually 100 or if it's 99. And if you were following the story, you know what I mean. Qatar wants to play a day ahead of schedule. so it can have the stage to itself because it has this elaborate fireworks show that it wants to put on. So I who knows? I mean, this is just another layer of what it is that's happening with the Qatari World Cup. But either way, whether it's 99 days or 100 days from now, Andrés Cantor will be there. There's a guy who's just a legend in broadcasting. You know, we've got some real legendary broadcasters that stop by on the show from time to time. We spent a little time talking about, you know, the greatest broadcaster ever in Vin Scully not too long ago. And I nobody's in that category. But when you're talking to the Kevin Harlans of the world and you're talking about all the different broadcasters, this guy, I mean, he's just been recognized for how much he's contributed to soccer in this country. From David Letterman to The Simpsons and so many memorable moments for Andres. So he will join us coming up at the top. I've never spoken with him.
Do you have his ringtone downloaded?
I don't. Does he have a ringtone?
Yeah.
He does? Oh, man, I didn't even know about that.
You could probably guess what it is.
I'm sure it's him saying goal for 30, 40 seconds at a time. This man has just amazing lung capabilities. The capacity of oxygen in this man's lungs, probably that of a marathon runner. So he will join us coming up at the top of the hour. Ian Fitzsimmons will also be here coming up hour number three. A Mother Fitz and Thursday. We'll talk to Fitzy about college football. We're just 16, a couple of weekends
14
away.
14 days, right?
Just a couple of weekends away.
We're like in countdown mode for, I feel like, for everything. You're mentioning 99 or 100 days for the World Cup. Is it 16 days or is it 14 days for college football for the first game?
It is August 26th or 27th, somewhere in that range. I spent a little bit of time on the schedule today, so I came in here saying the JREF. Oregon, Georgia, huh? You got to go down to Georgia. Is this a home and home?
Yeah,
is Georgia going to go visit?
Yeah, neutral site, quote unquote. It is not a home and home. There is no second Georgia game scheduled in 2028.
You just got to go down to the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta.
College football opening. What is it? College football season opening, whatever the title is from Fox. Yeah, in Atlanta. It's going to be rough.
You think so?
I don't know.
Already waving the white flag.
I mean, look, Dan Lanning, the new head coach at Oregon, came from Georgia. He won the national championship as the defensive coordinator at Georgia. Nobody knows this Georgian team that is not on that staff better than the Oregon head coach. So if any team stands a chance against Georgia, who is arguably still the best team in the nation, I know the SEC preseason polls gave Alabama that nod. Oregon is going to be the team to get it done. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens with Bo Nix as our quarterback.
Just get in. Get on, man. You know, it's your alma mater.
Of course. But there's realism.
Right. They're the champs. They're the champs, but they lost. They lost a lot.
They did. Yeah, but, you know, they lose to Alabama in the regular season. Yeah.
All right. Also, that weekend, I noticed, too, Notre Dame and Ohio State. That's pretty tasty.
To be a good one.
I mean, not a lot of love for either one of them, but that's, you know.
No love for Southern California native C.J. Stroud?
No. He plays for Ohio State.
Okay, all right, whatever. Represents SoCal quite well.
That doesn't matter. This is tribalism in college football. What are you talking
about? Well, as somebody who called him in his prep days, I have an emotional attachment to it, so I'm going to express my appreciation for it.
That's a question of which one of these two do you dislike more?
Yes.
And the answer, as always, is
not the person who isn't represented geographically from where I'm from.
No.
Oh, Ohio State.
Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Did we not interview this guy?
Apparently not. No, I don't think we did.
I'm going to sit here and actually say that there's somebody out there in the college football universe more loathsome than Notre Dame. And I'm an Irish Catholic. I thought Notre Dame was a local team until I was like 15 years old.
Are you? Real quick, are you a Duke fan too?
Right.
You are.
Who else do you like?
Look at his face. He's a Duke fan.
Yeah.
How did we not find this out ahead of time?
Cowboys?
No.
And then you get Utah and Florida, which is pretty good.
I mean, that's pretty good.
And now over that weekend, it'll be overshadowed. But Utah, which, you know, this year is clearly and on the schedule for San Diego State Week 3, Utah is parading around as if it should be a candidate for the college football playoff. As a matter of fact, they ended their season last year claiming as such. Now, you know, the Rose Bowl thing, but whatever. They held their own. That was a great game.
If Rising didn't go down in that game, they would have won.
So
they were a quarterback injury away.
That's good. That's pretty good live lifter for the first weekend of college football, I would say. Then, of course, here locally on September 3rd, you got the University of Arizona coming to town, taking on San Diego State at Snapdragon. So you got a lot. It's a lot. I'm excited to talk to Fitzy. Now that I've started burying my nose in the college football schedule. It was a while. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is the year I take a step back from college football. But then I'm like,
no,
man,
chance.
I can't
do that's that. Not you. Come on, it's your lifeblood. So you love it.
I do. I do love it. I wish there was a game tonight. I do wish there was a game happening tonight.
Well, then I'm glad they don't play preseason. Three TVs up.
I'm glad they don't play preseason. But
St. John's has been undefeated since when?
Since we disbanded football in 1996.
There you go. Undefeated since 96.
That's true. That's a good point. Also don't have a win, though. Also winless since 1996. So there's a couple of different ways of looking at that there, Slick. So, yeah, we'll talk to Fitzy. I think Fitzy probably has a schedule. I think. Probably does. Probably has a schedule. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, joined us yesterday. Mm-hmm. Do we have time here or do we have to do it next segment?
I think we should do it next segment. We don't have time here.
All right. It's longer than a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Alden Gonzalez joined us yesterday. Well, again, many of you were probably watching or paying attention to Padres, mm-hmm. which, no hard feelings. We make the show available, so it's just sort of us bantering about and doing what have you. But we did book a baseball guest mm-hmm. while there was a local baseball show.
But it was good,
so
though,
we'll
because
reset that in
yeah,
the, sec- in
he was
the,
there
the
for,
next segment.
He was in L.A. for Padres Dodgers, and he's the one that asked that question to Manny Machado that got the response. Because I'm effing Manny Machado.
It was very good. There is a story, and I was reminded of this because I was listening to Jim Russell rant and rave about The Athletic, I think it was last week, that dared ask the question, is what the Padres, is their model sustainable financially? And, of course, locally, everybody just got super offended by that. And, okay, didn't really jump in and don't know that I'm, uh-oh, I see texts coming in from friends of mine who went to Ohio State. I'll have to ignore that. Mm-hmm. I just want to read you something. Scott Miller writes for the New York Times, and he has some interesting quotes in here from Eric Grubner, who's the CEO of the Padres. And they're talking about how amazing attendance has been, 91.5% capacity at Petco Park, number two in the big leagues, number five in total attendance. Padres rank fifth in the majors with a club record. Padres also rank fifth in the majors with a club record $220 million payroll. Hmm. I would have thought it was higher than that, frankly. Is that only fifth? And here's a quote, an interesting quote from Eric Grubner. What we're still in the process of assessing is how much revenue we can generate from all the increased fan support and then long-term run the payroll off of something that is organically supportable through revenue that we can generate in our local market. Now, this is kind of a word salad, but just pay attention for a second. This is Eric Grubner to the New York Times. I would say the early returns on this increased commitment to payroll have been very strong and would seem to indicate that we would be able to support year in and year out a level of payroll that exceeds what the Padres have historically been able to do in our market. I don't know the answer yet, and I don't know that anybody does, but I know that we're sure going to find out what level this market will support. I thought, how interesting from Eric Grubner. Not saying that it's unsustainable, not guaranteeing that it is, but that they're going to test this. They're going to push the limits of what it is that they can do financially and see how it's received here locally. See how this will factor into their future decision-making. So it's not quite
it's a TBD.
Hey, idiots, don't tell us that this is unsustainable. We're going to push it, and we're going to see what happens. And if we continue to do the things that we're doing and fans respond accordingly, mm-hmm. then I think we're all going to have a great relationship in the future. What a nice, nuanced thing to say from Eric Grubner. Didn't rant, didn't rave. Just said,
we'll see.
I don't know the answer
yet.
I don't know anybody does, but I know we're going to find out what level this market will support. We're going to keep pushing it to places that people never thought it could happen here. And if it pencils out, then we're good. Then we're good. Then you can expect to see this, as he said, organically see this supportable through the revenue that we generate in our local market. So, very good quote there from Scott Miller in the New York Times. Loved reading it. Network.
Coming up today, 3 on John and Jim, we look back at this Padres-Giants series, but we look ahead. How crucial is this stretch against under 500 teams for the Padres coming up? We'll discuss beginning at 3 on Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
The official accountant of the D. Smith Show, Scott Sibley, says part of the test of increased fan support was to put the test out today. Season ticket renewals went out. Season tickets in some spaces went up 22%. Scott Sibley says, for the record, I'll happily pay that increase if the competitive nature of the team stays the same. And, yeah, that's That's, I'm sure, what they're looking at. Bugnish, I don't know. Gruppner sent out emails to current season ticket members. 2023 season tickets increased over 20%. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that's what he's saying here. But, you know, the idea that like, everybody got so offended because, you know, people around baseball are like, I don't know, is it sustainable? You know, you're a group and you're saying the same thing. It's like, well, I guess we'll find out. Yeah. You know, we'll push our limits and we'll push our limits in terms of what it is that we do.
You're gonna which makes sense as to why they're gonna cap some season tickets. They're possibly capping tickets for next year because you want to get as much money as you can for single game tickets rather than the discount you get on season tickets. So you them and you find out how much. And there's going to be a waiting list. Like, I know someone in my family, they want to go ahead and move their seats from, you know, upper deck out in right field to, like, regular, not regular plaza level. But you can't because they're sold out and there's a waiting list. So there's a great demand right now. So if there's a time to go ahead and do it, when you have superstars on your team, I guess now would be the time.
There's been a lot of years where we would laugh at the Padres for increasing season ticket prices when they were terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, this is obviously not one of those times. So there's more to it. Again, I would direct your attention to the entire piece that Scott Miller wrote, because Scott's very good, and you should read what he writes when he's writing for the New York Times, because it's not every day that you see anything about the Padres in the New York Times, so it's good. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN MLB reporter, was on the show yesterday, and we talked. Alden was there in Los Angeles over the weekend when the Padres had their pants pulled down by the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing new there, but what this meant and just how Alden sees it playing out the rest of this season into the postseason from yesterday's show.
I think you have to have a National League Division Series, a five-game series between these two teams. It just has to happen, and it'll be so great for baseball if it does.
Sounds like Alden also gets to play a home series as well, right? It'd be nice to cover something on the West Coast rather than have to travel
all these. And that's the most important thing.
Of course.
Break it down. It's just sort of my comfort and my work-life balance. That's all it matters.
Well, that's what matters most to us, if we're being frank here. Padres have scored four times. Nobody out. Base is still loaded. So, you know, they're putting on a little bit of a clinic here. So Alden Gonzalez has proven to be good luck while he's been on the radio. Hey, you were there when Manny said what he said the other night on Sunday night, that he's effing Manny Machado. What was that moment like for you?
I was shocked. He actually said it in response to one of my questions. I simply just asked him. I asked him, if I remember this correctly, basically, if there's any concerns from him with how the Padres matched up with the Dodgers, and he gave that answer of concern, why would I be concerned? And then I just simply asked, like, in the natural follow-up, what gives you that confidence? And then that's what he said. I loved it. I told him in the spot, I'm like, I love the confidence. He seemed very, it was striking to me just when we approached him after the game. He was almost, like, surprised that we would want to speak to him. I'm sure some of that was genuine, and I've heard from others that, you know, act like that. But I think part of that for him, too, and I'm not trying to overly project. I don't know exactly what's going on in his mind. But I know that as somebody who's one of the leaders in that clubhouse, he wants to sort of project that it's not that big a deal, because he knows a lot of people are going to make it a big deal that they lost these games to the Dodgers. And I think in his way, and again, I'm obviously only guessing here, but I think that's his way of projecting to others that that's not a big deal. Like, basically, why do you care to talk to me about this? Like, oh, who cares? We just lost three games. I don't think it's a dismissive attitude. I think it's more of trying to maybe in some way project to the team, like, no big deal. We're going to see them again this season. We got to worry about our own stuff. And we are good enough. Juan Soto said this too. They're good enough. They have the talent to, you know, contend with the Dodgers. And I don't think anybody in that clubhouse wants to extrapolate more than one should about one three-game series. Even though, you know, it is, like I said, 17 out of 19, they're going to play them nine more times in September. They'll be a different team in September. And the results may be completely different. And if you remember, before going 2-17 against the Dodgers in this recent stretch, they won, I think it was like 6 of 7, 7 of 8.
7 of 9, like, yeah.
7 of 9. So this stuff can go in spurts sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And Manny's an interesting guy to watch day in, day out, especially at situations like that, Alden, because, you know, there's a fine line between playful banter, and I think he's always trying to jab back a little bit, right? Like, hey, I'm not going to give in to you reporters, you know, and he's trying to at times be funny. At times it sounds like it's a little bit, like there's like this, what's the right word? Resentment. I don't know. You know, there's just a lot going on there when you see these interviews with Manny postgame.
Yeah, I think some of his defiance, too.
Yeah, defiance. That's the right word.
I think he has some of that in him. That might be what helps make him great, to be honest. You know, I covered Albert Pujols for the early part of his time with the Angels, actually almost all of it. He tended to be like that sometimes, too, where he'd get, I don't know if defensive is the right word, but yeah, no, I think defensive is the right word in terms of just when reporters approached him and stuff like that. But I think that was his way of projecting a confidence, you know, clunky as you think it might be. That was his way. And I think Manny sort of draws from that in some way. I see a lot of similarities in that respect.
One of the local guys here told me there was something that was said about the shirt that he was wearing.
Oh, yeah. I told him that I was... It was just a joke, but after he said that, I was like, well, you know, you are wearing a shirt that says the sky is falling. And I honestly, I was hoping that he wore that ironically, you know, like just because that's what everybody's going to think. But I don't think that was the case. I think it was just a cool shirt that he liked.
All right. Later on, we had talked to Alden about, you know, just comparing the two different rosters, you know, and he actually said, we'll play it, revisit it later. But he said something, you know, along the lines, I think you put it on paper, you know, you'd have... You can make an argument that that's the Padres, but you know, obviously it's not a you know, it's not that kind of sport. Trying to avoid all the cliches here, but it's true. It's just, you know, it's something that you have to know. Who do you trust? Who do you rely on? Who has this knack? As much as people don't believe in clutch and all that sort of, I do. You know, certain people just like thriving, big stage, big moments, lights bright. You got a player like that in Juan Soto. Should have won the World Series MVP. Just was amazing. I was there when he cranked one out against Verlander, game six of that series. So, you know, just a magnificent player. So, you know, that's certainly part of it. All right, coming up in our next segment here, it's either 99 or 100 days before the World Cup in Qatar starting in November, either the 19th or the 20th, I think. You know, who knows? But when we booked legendary broadcaster Andres Cantor, he was scheduled to talk about, we're 100 days out from the World Cup. Well, we'll still talk about his great career. We'll talk about him, his inspiration, growing up in Argentina, becoming as recognizable as he has become in the United States. I don't think he lives too far away from us. I think he grew up just south Pasadena, somewhere in that range. So been in the U.S. since he was a teenager. But Andres Cantor will join us when we return on Extra 1360. K270.